Hey everybody, good morning. Monday, April 20th. Yes, April 20th. I think this is Earth Day, right? I don't know if it's actually on April 20th or it's just late in the calendar every year in April. I have been seeing plenty of discussion about Earth Day and the importance of it. It's what an important reality of us needing to do better about the world and our treatment of of our resources, of our public health spaces, just all around. It's a sunny day. Looking at the weather forecast, it might be the last sunny day for a while for Seattle. So I'm out on my usual long walk in the morning. This is three things. This is a chance to talk about three items that are inspiring and energizing for us. I'm going to be joined by two folks this morning. Here's number one. It's Charles Douglas.
Here's number one. Is it a surprise that I'm joining? Should they expect that I don't join sometimes?
Every time I get to talk to you, it's just the highlight of my day, Charles. Okay.
Oh, is that thing number one?
Yeah, that's thing number one. And why is
No,
it?
it's not. It's not.
No, it's not. Can you turn your phone off of vibrate? Because all the time on these calls, on these podcasts, you get like text messages to go do 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 or whatever.
You hear vibrate?
Yes.
I don't know. Is that, are you sure that's the vibrate sound? Are you sure it's not like me making coffee and stuff in my kitchen?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you when I hear it because it will happen. It just happened,
Okay.
and I will. Okay.
Okay. All right, you let me know.
Sure.
So
Maria's going to join
we
us
got a
here too in
second
a minute.
person?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so she's joining like right away or down the line a little
Yeah.
bit.
No. Yeah. She'll be coming in any second here. Yep. What are you
Okay,
doing right
so
now?
I am starting my coffee ritual here. My wife is in the background trying to feed my daughter.
Totally. Yeah. Oh man, September. Yeah. She hungry.
I know you got a chance to talk to her yesterday, huh? And she was not happy.
I have yet to see, I've only seen her in little glimpses, but I have yet to see her in any what I would say is kind of like full-throated not happiness, where
Oh,
like she's really belting it out.
sure. Yeah, so you're an experienced parent, so you know when she's like whining versus like she is screaming and yeah.
Totally. Like that was a hungry cry. Last night when she was going to bed and we saw a little bit of her, that was
Yeah.
just a tired cry. It was not the I am pissed cry. All right.
Those are terrifying, man.
I
Those are the those are like the those are those cries are the ones where you're kind of like, I don't know, what am I doing? Like as a parent, you're like,
Exactly.
what, wait, do I not know how to do this? Yeah.
You do feel so impotent as a parent in those moments because you're like, I tried this, I did the bounce, right? I did the bounce and
Yep.
the bounce didn't do it. And then, okay,
Yeah,
a
we
little
changed the
talking.
diaper. We
Yeah.
thought we did the we did we sang or whatever. We walked around and nothing.
Totally. And then, like nothing, and you're like, I got nothing. I got nothing. And then in comes another person, okay? And they're like, I got this. And then all of a sudden, like it's just the babies.
It's
It's
fine.
cool. Yeah,
And you're like, well,
exactly.
I swear I did that. Yeah. But
Right.
that's how kids are. And then when they get older, it's the same thing, except, you tell them not to do something or you warn them and then, they don't listen. And then somebody else says the same thing and it's like, hey, somebody told me about this thing. And you're like, I swear I told you that. It's fine. That's being a parent. Thankless. It's fine.
Totally. All right, hang on. Here we go. Hey, Maria.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Amanda. Yeah, totally can.
Hey. How's it going? Morning.
So what's going on?
So
where are you at?
Call number two for you. And David, this is like your second call of the morning.
Yes, I love the David and I have a couple weekly check-ins because otherwise, so I might just be like perishing from loneliness here.
So. Oh my gosh! Don't say that. Somebody call her. If you're listening to this podcast, Maria Abando would like to talk to you, please. Okay. Send her an email and just say
what's
your phone call.
What's your ranking among the Common Purpose leadership team of the people that need, we'll just go with the top of the continuum for the people that need the most social contact. So who would be your top three in what
the
order?
Most?
Yeah, they need the most.
Number one is Daniel Caseberg, 100%.
Okay.
Daniel is out there right now making food deliveries for people, volunteering. He is. Did you see that, Maria? He's like volunteering to do stuff for people just so he can like, well, he wants to help out, but he also like wants to have human connection. Did you see that?
Oh, poor Daniel. Yeah, well, he just moved. So I'm like moving, living alone for the first time right before the pandemic hit up.
Yeah, but I would put you, I don't know how I parse you three, but it's you three for sure. Daniel plus you two.
Yes, it is.
All right? Yeah.
100%.
I just do phone calls. I just all I really do in Common Purpose right now is come up with social ideas for Maria and for us to for us contact with people. So like this is number one. Thing number one is yours, Maria. What's your thing?
My thing is that, gosh, I have been really, really wanting to have a more community connection. And so I'm going to be the community highlight starting.
You're breaking up. Wait.
Yeah, we missed that.
Yeah.
I can hear somebody talk about
it. Oh, you're definitely breaking up on us.
Okay, let me move.
Hey, you want to hang? Oh, you're going to put on your phones or something?
All right.
This is a reality in this world. Hey, there we go. I was going to say
technology, yeah, that's great.
And managing through it is a reality in the quarantine world, and everyone is totally used to these moments.
Totally. How's this? Can you hear me any better?
Oh, yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's really good.
Wow. Look at that. Solution-oriented, solving problems. Okay, no. What I was going to say, I'm really excited because I can finally feel this craving for community and community connection. We've been doing that in a lot of ways in Common Purpose, but I'm going to start something of my own with some community highlight podcasts starting this week. And my first community highlight is going to be the one and only superstar, Andrea Lieberman, who has been with Common since the start in 2018. She was on the Nevada team with me back in 2018 and has become a really awesome Common Purpose community member and a really dear friend of mine. And I'm going to hopefully ask her some questions and talk about her journey and hopefully have a little bit of fun as well. So I hope people tune in for that. It's going to be tomorrow at 10.
Yeah, and you had to talk her into it, right? You had to talk her into it.
No, she's in. She's super in. And there's a few other folks that I'm asking. So if you're listening out there, who knows? You might get an ask from me to be on and to share a little bit about why you feel like the work is important, or just to give us a chance to learn a little bit about you. Because one of my favorite things about our common purpose community is that there's just so much depth of perspective and so much depth of experience, which is honestly one of the things that was a little bit intimidating to me at first with the common purpose community, is everyone is so has been so successful in their careers. They're so well traveled, and it brings so much to the table. So many awesome ideas and experiences and stories. It's some of my favorite things to be able to hear from people and hear about their journeys of how they got here. So hopefully we get to share that with you all.
That's a great, I'm really glad that you all are doing that. I think that, Maria, I think that's right in your wheelhouse to be able to do. How often is this? Once a week or what?
Hopefully as many I can get. And
oh, that's right. I think I asked you this at our team meeting. I was like, when are they going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, all that. Schedule these. I got to schedule them. Like, oh,
when people can do them. So hopefully at least once a week. Actually, something that was really fulfilling for me just yesterday, I got a chance to go for a walk with Mary Fiegel, who is also on my Nevada team in 2018 and is my co-lead for the Iowa team this year. And we just went to Magnuson and walked around, and she's so funny. She just says hello to everybody that she sees on the trail and like, oh, these guys know me, or oh, I see these ladies when I walk here, because I walk here multiple times in the week. And we were just talking about just how there's so much value in everyone's different perspectives, and that's one of the cool things of how it all culminates in common purpose. So I love it.
That's great.
And I'm elevating my technology game on a daily basis. We know this, and so I'm gonna be the producer for Maria's.
Yes. All right. I'm so scared. I'm just kidding, David. I'm just kidding.
You're totally right. You're totally right.
That's the right response. That's the right response. The good thing is that there's like zero expectations around his ability to produce your podcast. So, it's whatever, you know.
Yeah, Charles, we got to give these next generation leaders the opportunity for new yes. leadership experiences.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right, you're both like. I'm going to say to you, like, how do you do this? How do you do this one thing? You're going to be like, you're going to need to figure that out. Okay, David, so go ahead. And
that's right. Uh-huh.
Okay.
You can't just ask us how to do it all the time, okay? You got to come up with your own innovations.
I did something the other day.
You're uncomfortable, huh? Well, you got to fight through that, okay, David?
I did something the other day where Wole and I were on, and getting ready for one of my lectures, and I said, yeah, I went in and I did this little like maneuver with my microphone, something he had not told me how to do. I said, I went in and did this, and there was this long pause, and he's like, you did that? And I said, yeah, I did that. And he's like, really? Okay. And yeah, let me just say that, you know, it was kind of like,
it was a highlight of your day.
Yeah. Aww. All right, I got number two.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You got number two? Wait. I want to hear again. This first one is going to be when?
Tuesday, tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Okay. And
then, 10 a.m. with Andrea Lieberman.
You're going to put it up? When are you going to put it up, producer?
It will go live. They're going to do it live. And then it'll go up right after that as soon as Podbean always has to process things, and sometimes it does processes the episode and turns it around and makes it available to publish immediately afterwards. But sometimes it takes a while, so it'll go up as soon afterwards as possible. Okay, so the way it works,
folks out there.
Let me just explain something.
Hold on, wait. No, that's enough. No. We don't want to do that. It's boring. Okay. Listen. So folks, now this is about Maria. Okay. So
okay,
folks,
all right,
that, that have missed Maria, and want to hear her voice, and you're tired of just hearing her when we are only during like team like workshops and stuff, and you want to actually hear her one-on-one with somebody, tune in tomorrow. Download the Podbean app so you can hear it live tomorrow at 10 a.m. Or when the producer, our rookie producer, when he is finished with the final edition, you can probably hear it tomorrow by the end of the day on your wherever you get podcasts. So tune in then. All right. Okay, David.
Fine. All right. So number two for me is, I don't know if you two watch this, and I don't know how many people in the Common Purpose community will be watching this, but there's a 10-part documentary series on ESPN about Michael Jordan's last season, or last major season in the NBA, when the Chicago Bulls won their the last dance. And it's they won their sixth championship in the 1990s, in the season of 97 and 98. And so it's showing on Sundays for like five Sundays in a row. And last night, episode 1 and 2 was on. And this whole thing is fascinating to me. So in that season, before the season started, it was clear it was going to be the last season that this team and the coach was together, and the because of a variety of contracts and decisions that have been made, and so the NBA entertainment leadership team, and we'll create some kind of documentary down the road, and they said, everybody said yes, the general manager said yes, and the coach Phil Jackson said yes. But Michael Jordan was the key player and a person. And so they went to Michael Jordan and they said, in order to get you to agree to this, Michael, because Michael was very smartly and intensely controlling of his image, they said, we will put all of the footage into literally a vault, and we will never come out without mutual agreement of you plus the NBA leadership. So you have complete control over this, Michael. So he said, okay, let's do it. So it sat in the vault, and no documentaries had ever been made about that time until 2016. There was an agreement struck when LeBron James won the NBA championship for Cleveland, and this struck a chord with Jordan in some way. And Jordan said, okay, I'm ready to do this. So they're producing it. It's 10 parts, and it's about all of these characters on the season, and they're just these larger-than-life athletes and individuals. So all of that is like intriguing if you pay attention to sports and so on.
These are larger-than-life people. These are people that like enough time has passed. So this is like 20 plus years now that these people are like, these are legends. These are people that like you remember as good players. 20 plus years ago, but these are legendary people. These are people that the best in the league right now looked up to when they were children, and they're probably watching the same thing, going, "Holy cow! I've waited my entire life to see this documentary."
Yeah, and Jordan is just—he was the greatest athlete of my like. 20s and 30s, and probably of my lifetime. Okay, so he's like in my little sports universe. He's mythic, but he's also not a good human being. Okay, he did not treat his teammates very well. He was because he's the most competitive human that we've ever seen. Okay,
yeah.
So all of that is really interesting to unpack and to watch this unfold and all of that. But the reason I bring it up is because there's two particular things that I, when I was watching it last night, that I was intrigued about. One was, first, that the 1997-98 season, which is the season that's being chronicled here, was actually the year that I was interviewing here at the University of Washington and then got the job at the University of Washington. Okay. I became aware while I was watching it that in that season, while I was experiencing this as a fan and watching it, I was also going through this unbelievable moment in my life. All right. We were, my wife and I, and the process of interviewing here, getting accepted for a position here, deciding to come to the University of Washington runs. It all occurs in the span of time that this season goes. And what a moment to kind of like be catapulted backwards in our memories of like, that's where we were at that time. So it's really interesting in that.
Where'd you come from?
Were you in from Minnesota. In Minnesota. I had done graduate work at the University of Minnesota, and we had lived there for 6 years, and then I got offered a job here at UW.
Oh, that's interesting. That is interesting. See, I thought you were going to go at the Sonics angle, man. This is personal. Yeah. That's really good.
So then the second thing is the thing that came up yesterday. Jordan had ultimate.
Hold on, Maria. Do you remember the 90s?
Well, on this particular season, this season's document was happening, and while David was going through this monumental change of, you know, about being about to start at the University of Washington, I was going through a big change as well.
No, I don't need to hear this, okay?
Starting preschool.
I was 3 years old. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't remember, but I do know that people look upon Michael Jordan very fondly and as a legend. Yeah. And I know
as a legendary shoe salesman.
Scottie Pippen. I've been seeing a lot of good content coming up about those guys. But what it makes me excited about is right now that person for, I think, my generation is LeBron James. So how exciting is it going to be for me decades down the road when we get to hear about the stuff that LeBron James is doing and to kind of be able to compare and contrast with what's going on with Michael Jordan's documentary right now? This is going to be awesome.
Well, he's doing stuff live, though. I think that there's a major difference. David, you're going to make another point, but there's a major difference between the way that that Mike did his before and the way that LeBron's doing his now. LeBron is fully utilizing social media, and he has a show. He's on all the social networks. He's constantly letting people know what he thinks. He's out in support of social issues. He's a very different human being. You know, you spoke to who Michael Jordan was a little bit. LeBron is someone you can look up to as a person.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah, that teammanship.
Yeah. And LeBron, like, builds a school and funds the school out in Akron, Ohio, all that stuff, right?
Exactly.
So the second moment in this documentary thing, and this is related to, this is going to connect to Common Purpose and our journey, is that when the NBA, so several times over the last 20 years, the NBA had come to Jordan and had said, hey, we'd like to do something on this. Would you be open to it? And he refused to meet with them, wouldn't even talk to them. Okay. And then in 2016, for some reason, he seemed to be open to this. And so the NBA got this guy who they thought could be the producer of the series, kind of like me. He's like the producer of the series. And they thought that they would bring him to Jordan and have Jordan meet with him. And they had to go through like five layers of potential meetings to even get to Jordan. But Jordan finally says, okay, I'll meet with you. He meets with this guy, and they go to Charlotte, North Carolina, to talk to him. And there's not even a meeting scheduled because Jordan is like, doesn't want to have a meeting. Everybody just agrees that there's going to be like these 5 minutes that in the course of like a day long set of different things they're doing, that this guy is going to pitch it to Jordan in like a 5 minute window. And this happens, and the guy hands Jordan this one page sheet of things that he's produced. And it's a whole bunch of documentaries, including stuff that I don't have off the top of my head, but are pretty well known. Okay. Really well respected and so on. And Jordan's looking down this and he says nothing. He's looking down it. And the guy says that the last item on the list is a documentary about Allen Iverson, this former NBA player. And the name of the documentary was titled Iverson. And Iverson was a bit of a rebel and a little bit of a controversial, but also incredible player.
Yeah.
And so Jordan says nothing to the guy. And then he gets down to Iverson and he points to Iverson, the name of the documentary. And he says, did you do this? And the guy doesn't know what the intent of the question is. Like, is this going to be the moment where Jordan's going to say like, I'm done, no chance or not. Right. And so he doesn't answer. He doesn't answer. And Jordan says, did you do this? And the guy says, yes, that was ours. And Jordan says, I've watched it three times, man, and I cried twice. All right. Mm-hmm. And Jordan gets up and walks around the desk and shakes his hand and says, let's do it. All right. And it's these moments when you got
a documentary.
No, it's in a story that like is told as like a preface to the documentary, right? But that's like you got to take your shot.
Spoiler alert.
No, it's not. It's like how did it get done? Like these stories, but you got to take your shot. And there's these moments when you don't know how it's going to go. You're in these conversations where you say, "Can you support us financially, or will you come work with us?" And you don't know what the next moment is going to happen, but you just go for it because that's what this is about. You've got to try.
Yeah. That's good, man. So this is you're right. There are these moments, especially when you're in uncharted waters, when you're doing stuff that, or you're asking or hoping to do something that hasn't been done before, at least not in the way that you're doing it. And you're looking to get people to come on board, and it's the asking somebody for stuff is not easy for most people. I think for you, it's like breathing air, but for most people, it's just not in their comfort zone to ask people for things. But you gotta just do it. You gotta just do it.
You gotta just do it. And by the way,
you're getting your sports fix.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, I was just going to say that you may not be aware of this, Charles, but some Jordan shoes went on for sale yesterday during the documentary. All right. And they sold out. They sold out during the during the hour it was on.
Oh, really?
I just witnessing David sharing with Charles that some shoes went on sale.
Yeah,
David's really stepping it up.
Totally.
So let me tell you the way his mind works, okay? This is the way his mind works. He started with the I'm gonna be the one to tell Charles about the shoe thing. And then he backed his way all the way up to this meaningful documentary thing. It was all for that, to be able to deliver that line to me. That was it. That's good. You get points for that. That's really good. And then you get even more.
That was a stunt.
Did you buy a pair,
David? I didn't buy any, no. But the fact that I knew that they were on sale is definitely, you know, that was part of the reason for doing the whole story there, yes.
I know, man. I know. This is like thing number two is that it's like you being a producer. It's like here's all the great things that I'm learning and that I know that other folks don't. That's good. Okay, so you want to give a
thing number one. David is a producer.
No, Charles, you're
the two.
Shoes. Thing number three, David bought a Tesla. Okay. The third thing was the talk that we had yesterday with Lou Friedman, who David.
That was close, David, Charles. That was close. It's Lou Friedland. That was pretty close for you.
When I say Friedman?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, geez. You know who would forgive me? Lou. Lou would totally.
Yeah, he would. He had a great talk
yesterday. He has an awesome sense of humor. When we said that we were going to talk to this doctor guy, Dr. Lou, who's a friend of David's, I was like, wow, this is going to be super boring conversation. and maybe you decided not to tune in. If you're listening right now, maybe you decided not to tune into that. Maybe you heard about it and you're like, I'm full of David lectures. But this is a really different conversation. This is a Lou Friedland was like a young Bernie Sanders when he was Bernie uh-huh. Sanders, like around the same time. Oh no, he's younger than Bernie, but he was a rebel for social justice issues when he was Maria's age, and he has been basically fighting his whole life, and he's a professor now in Wisconsin, but he also works with the local Dems, and he does a lot of electoral work too, a lot of strategy stuff. He knows a lot about digital engagement of voters, and it was educational for me. It was meaningful because I do work in Wisconsin, it was a fun conversation. I think that it really got me going, and I'm glad that we did it. And folks can tune in and listen to it actually on our website, cpnow.org. You can catch the replay of it there. David? Is everybody on mute?
Uh-oh. No, I'm here, Charles. It sounds like it was a really good conversation, though. I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah, it was really good. This guy is super entertaining. He ribbed us a lot. He's one of those few people that can kick it back to David every once in a while and throw him off. That's always a good person to talk to. David, how was it for you?
It was great. I got my phone call just came in for me. Whenever the phone rings, I'm doing a podcast. I lose the podcast doesn't end, but I lose contact with you all until I can kind of answer or decline the phone call. So I was gone for 20 seconds there. It was a mix of like research and thoughtful civic engagement and humor and a history that was just like so cool. I was having so much fun during it, and every one of these kind of moments where there are portions of my past that get brought together in ways that have value for now are really, really cool. They're very exciting to me, and so there was that for me personally, and then just as a sheer kind of common purpose person learning about Wisconsin and how they do their work and the strategies involved and a lot of what's going on the ground there. That was compelling too.
Yeah. That's a part I haven't. Yeah. If you want to know what happened in the last election, what made the difference, what kind of strategies that the Dems are using right now or folks on the left are using right now, what kind of outlook there is for the rest of the year in Wisconsin specifically, watch that video because it's super informative. He goes in on Ben Wickler's strategy that everyone's giving him a lot of credit for right now, and talks about the root of that and who actually started some of that momentum in Wisconsin, and then starts talking really intelligently now about some of the digital tools that are being used to motivate and get people to vote. It was super informative. If you've got more people like that in your network, man, I'd love to talk to them.
Okay. I am thinking about them now, about who could be out there like that, because I want to bring those to the community. Yeah, so we're going to ramp up our Zoom conversations maybe once a week with somebody from another state to talk about the work there. One more thing I got out of it was, we know this from when we travel, but because we're not traveling, it feels like it's a little bit distant to us right now. And what it is, what I'm referring to is the real pain and investment that people who are in these states feel about the work that we're supporting on. That this is not like just a Supreme Court election to them. Mm-hmm. This is their lives, right? This is their lives. And so that piece is really what probably energizes me more than anything, is that like the courage they have and the determination they have has to be met by us. It's the least we can do.
Yeah. So what's next? Do you have a target for what's next for the conversation?
Well, I'm working on one for Maine,
okay,
for the state of Maine. And I also reached out to one of our team leads, Emily Carmichael, and she has a really large network of people in the political space. And I think that I asked her if there were some candidates or people in elected office who might talk to us. And so I'm going to spend some time over the next couple of days to just building these. But my hope would be that by Friday's email, that we'll have a couple of these on the schedule where we'll be doing, you know, like I said, once a week at least conversations with folks who are out in the field doing work.
That's great. I mean, this is one of the coolest things about this period is just what we're able to create. Excuse me, what we're able to create from this quarantine. You know, we've got sometimes restrictions aren't they don't tamp down all creativity. They just direct it and show us a different path. So this has been really cool to see our creativity during this time.
Yeah, it's mutually inspirational because like after we did the Zoom call yesterday, Lou and I texted, you know, back and forth 3 or 4 times. And we know this again from when we go out in the field. They get the adrenaline and the encouragement from us caring and investing too. So, yep. All right. So, okay. Charles, during this podcast, there were 2 times that your phone vibrated. Did you get 2 texts?
No, I didn't get. Did I get a text? You know, I heard yours though.
That might have been mine, guys. My bad.
It did sound a little different than yours, Charles. Charles, yours is louder. This one was a little more faint, so this might have been Maria's. But we're gonna get that nailed down.
I heard someone's too as well. So one of them was me. I think the other one was Charles.
You know, if it's not my phone vibrating, it's the garbage trucks driving by you in the background and stuff.
This sure, is just, I gotcha.
Well, this is just how it goes. This is how it goes.
I've definitely been hearing that for sure. Have been hearing the cars.
I know. I hear you. Good morning. I know. I understand.
Good morning to whoever that is.
Yeah. So I'm going to add the title producer to my my title area for Common Purpose. So I'm excited.
Wow.
Why don't you actually farm out your services, man? We could have another source of income.
Okay. So I'll talk to you both later. We'll get back to work. And Maria, tomorrow morning, we'll bust you out for your first podcast.
10 a.m. All right. Looking forward to it.
All right. Let's get back to work. Thanks.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys.
Bye.